When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. Let's fire it up. Hello, everybody. Shannon Sharp on the West Side. Look very handsome, Shannon. I like this fit. I really like it. The blues popping, bringing the energy early. How are you guys feeling?
Fantastic.
Jeff Saturday's in the building. Chris Canty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Feeling good.
Let's get right into it.
I think you look great, too.
I appreciate that. She didn't say anything.
No. I thought you put the fit together extremely well.
Can I be 100% honest with you? I didn't even really look at your – I wanted to make sure we had Shannon. I was nervous. And then I'm staring at Shannon, so I didn't even give you both a chance. Very in season. Like the tweed. It's working, casual, the nice cashmere underneath. And I love the gray shirt.
Yeah, classic.
The gray shirt's great. It's also clean.
Thank you.
I mean, the blue eyes are sparkling.
Thank you.
Are we ready to do this now?
We're ready.
We feel good? It's almost like Stephen A. is actually here.
That's what they told me to do.
Almost,
I did good.
It is almost
I'm
like
a better version of Stephen A.
You literally are right now. My goodness. All right, guys, let's roll here. So the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions again, going back-to-back with an OT win over the Niners. So now what's next for Patrick Mahomes and company? How about a three-peat? Now we're talking history.
Legendary. I mean, just to be able to, no one's ever done it. And we knew it's legendary to win back-to-back. I think 8 other teams had done it. We had heard it all week. We had talked to the guys about it, and we felt like we had the best opportunity that we had ever had to go out there and do that. And I'd fell short the year before. And so, I mean, all you could do is come back next year with a fresh mindset, knowing it's going to be even harder. And we got to continue to play our best football. We'll celebrate these next few weeks, and then we'll get right back at it.
Oh, it's never too early to think about next football season. And at ESPN Bet, the odds are out. All right, let's talk about it, folks. So the Niners are favorites to win. That's interesting to me. The Niners are favorites to win it all. Sorry, I'm looking at this in real time. Just ahead of the Chiefs and Ravens, the Bills, Lions, and Bengals are next. And none of those have ever won a Super Bowl. Okay, Shannon. So, Shannon Sharp, it's been a fantastic season with you, but welcome to First Take. And here we do things like this on First Take, so don't get mad at me. Who are you picking to win the Super Bowl next season? Would you go the Chiefs or the field?
The thing is I know you seem surprised, Molly, that the 49ers, considering they had just lost to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are coming back at least with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid at the bare minimum. And so for them to win the Super Bowl, and now all of a sudden they're the second favorite to win the Super Bowl again, is a little not surprising to me, because when we beat Green Bay in 97, they came back as the favorite the following year. But I'm going to take the field, because no one has ever three-peated because it's so hard because of injuries. Remember, you play so much longer than everybody else. And football is already, guys, you know, Canty, you was on the Super Bowl team. Saturday, you was on one. To be special, I remember we went back-to-back in 97-98. And Mike told us coming into the 98 season, if you want to be special, you got to repeat. He said there have been a lot of teams that's won one in a row. But to be special and then be remembered forever, you have to do two. Man, if you do three, I don't even know what to say. You got to put Patrick Mahomes on the farthest planet ever, because he would definitely set himself apart. It's just so hard. The 49ers got the closest. If y'all guys remember, they lost the NFC Championship game to the Giants in 1990. After that, no one else has really even been close. And so I'm going to take the field just based on history. It's hard, really extremely hard, to bet against Patrick Mahomes, because we know what he's capable of. But there's too many factors. What if they don't sign Chris Jones back? Legarius Sneed is a free agent. There's just so many variables. I do believe they'll upgrade their receiving core, but I just got to take the field. This is just too risky for me to take one team over the other 31.
I'm gonna let y'all know my bet's already in.
Let's go.
I parlayed it with them Chiefs, baby. I ain't betting against you, Patrick Mahomes. I just took all the win it, push it all forward, baby. Let's go for that third one. Let's have some real celebrations. You know what I mean? So, no, I understand what you're saying about how difficult it is. I will say this though: when you look at the way this team is built and the way they've succeeded this past year, they were 15th in offense. 15th. No one would think of Patrick Mahomes. 15th in offense. They have the youngest defense in the NFL. The past 2 years, they've won it at 25-26. They are staying young. I believe they will re-sign Chris Jones. I think they take care of Snead. I think they restructure Patrick Mahomes to get some of that money. And to your point, I think they answer some issues with maybe some tackles or even adding another receiver. I think they think Rice is going to step forward and be their one to complement Travis Kelce. But I think they're going to look for that. And let's not forget, this became a very physical, running, Pacheco-led type offense. That travels when you have a defense that way. This was the toughest thing, the toughest championship for them to win. And by winning it this year, I think they set themselves up next year because of the position they're in with the cap and with the availability. And make no mistake, if it wasn't Patrick Mahomes, I wouldn't bet on 3-peat. But, man, the last two Super Bowls, they were underdogs. Yeah. The last two, the Eagles and the 49ers, and somehow found ways to win. The gauntlet they just went through, beating San Fran, beating Baltimore, beating on the road, Buffalo on the road, it was a true gauntlet. And they beat the one seed, the two seed, the one seed. I mean, that is legit football. And that's why I put it in. Let's roll and see what happens.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm with you. It's Andy Reid. It's Pat Mahomes. I'm going to go ahead and rope in Travis Kelce and
yes.
Taylor Swift until otherwise notified, because they that good. And, Unc, you're talking about the history of it with the field and teams being able to get back to the Super Bowl for a third straight time. There have been 8 back-to-back winners. None of them have gotten back to the big game for a third consecutive time. So I understand that, but we're watching history when it comes to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
We are watching history. There has been no one in the history of the game that has had this kind of start to their first 7 seasons in yep. the NFL, first 6 years as the full-time starter. This dude got 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 Super Bowl titles, and 2 regular season MVPs. For goodness sakes, he starts the season in the conference championship game.
Yeah. Make no mistake now, their defense won them the Super Bowl this year. Like, their sure. defense, or got them, not went, but got them.
Yeah.
Their defense is what, after December.
And it's the youngest defense in the NFL.
Absolutely.
So they're
and
not
boy,
going
hey,
anywhere.
They were real. They were real.
But that's where I was going, though, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's why I have full confidence that they're going to be back in this spot.
Yes.
Because this defense is only going to continue to ascend. Like,
the two things that could set him back is Spagnuolo. If for some reason he went somewhere, which he ain't going nowhere. That would be an issue because he is the Pippen of the Jordan. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That dude puts it together.
Yeah.
That would be an issue in the Chris Jones. To Shannon's point, not having him would be massive.
Yeah, Chris Jones, we got to make sure we take care of him. L'Jarius Sneed, we'll franchise tag and figure that thing out from there. But here's the thing. Why would we not have any confidence that this Chiefs organization would be able to figure out players did defect, if they do have to move on from guys? They had to move on from Tyreek Hill, the most explosive player in the NFL, and all they've done is win 2 championships since then.
Good.
And a part of the Tyreek Hill trade was all-pro cornerback Trent McDuffie. A part of the Tyreek Hill trade was their number one wide receiver in Rashee Rice. So we've seen, and they still got a 5th-round draft pick this year. That trade. So all I'm simply saying is the Kansas City Chiefs have earned our confidence, and the defense is a reason why we should be bullish on them. They didn't allow one team this season to score more than 27 points.
Good heavens.
The last team to all the teams on their schedule under 28 points, they all win the Super Bowl. So that's how good the Kansas City Chiefs defense is.
Well, if you guarantee me they're going to sign, I understand they're the youngest defensive team in the NFL. Chris Jones is 29, I think. L'Jarius Sneed is like 25, 26. Now, if you tell me if they're bringing both of those guys back, and you and I both believe that they're going to upgrade the wide receiver position. Mike Evans is a free agent. Calvin Ridley is a free agent. T. Higgins is a free agent. Now, if you tell me there's a possibility they're going to upgrade, I believe they're going to upgrade. That's the only thing that I'm absolutely for certain of. They're going to upgrade that position. Now, if you tell me they're going to re-sign Chris Jones. Now, when you got 3 Super Bowls, guys, Canty, you know this, Saturday, you know this. You got 3 Super Bowls. Some team out there, he's the best DT in football. Somebody's about to give him $100 million guaranteed. I don't know if Kansas City is going to be willing to go to that number. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, They franchise tag L'Jarius Sneed. That's got to be somewhere around $20 million.
Yeah.
So if you tell me they're going to bring those two guys back, I'll do redo my thinking because I have the utmost confidence. And like you guys said, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Now you get a true number one receiver, and you pair him alongside Kelce with Patrick Mahomes. Here's the thing that's most amazing, guys. Patrick Mahomes had his worst statistical season, and they won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Now, what happens when he gets back to being Patrick Mahomes the previous 5 years?
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, we saw that like Chris Jones on the ground after the Super Bowl. He's celebrating. Andy Reid came and jumped on top of him, and they were celebrating. I said this earlier this morning. Andy Reid, do that in the facility, and don't let him leave until he signs a contract. Like, that is that is the dude. You don't let – because here's the thing. You think about you think about him closing out Buffalo. It was because of Jones and him making that play to alter the for sure touchdown that Allen throws short. You think about three touchdowns that he saved in the Super Bowl. The Debo Samuel's wide open ball is bad, yep. Right? You think about him coming free unblocked on the third down. And I mean, listen, every time there's a big moment, Chris Jones is the defensive equivalent to what Patrick Mahomes is on offense. He makes the play. He's always around the ball. He's always doing something to affect and make that offense worse. Those type of guys are indispensable. And listen, I don't care what anybody – defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen who can do that are worth their weight in gold because he loves to play out on end. Like, he'll go out there all day.
Yeah.
But when that dude goes up and lines inside on that three tech and still does it and still manufactures the way he does – there just ain't many in the world who can do it like that. I just don't see you letting him out of the building.
Yeah, in terms of versatility for defensive linemen, I don't know that outside of Aaron Donald, you have a guy that's as versatile as Chris Jones.
Exactly.
And that's why you don't let him walk out of the building. That's why he has to be the top priority this offseason in terms of locking up. But, I mean, listen, Chris Jones wants to be there. We saw that at the beginning of this year. Contract dispute.
Yeah.
Still shows up for a team's charity event. He's watching the first game against the Lions in the press box. I think they both recognize that it's a mutually beneficial relationship, and they're probably going to keep that thing pushing.
Ooh,
absolutely.
So.
Candy, thanks for sticking around here with us. I know you just did 4 hours of TV. We appreciate
that
you.
That dude has been on it today.
Class is dismissed for you. You get home safe. Jeff Saturday, Shannon Sharp, obviously you guys sticking around. I want to get into some NBA here. Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst standing by. So the Knicks were on the wrong side of a bad call last night in a tie game. Jalen Brunson called for a foul on Aaron Holiday, which lifted the Rockets to a 105-103 win. Here's Coach Tibbs and Brunson on the call.
Tough way to lose a game. You know, tough way to lose a game.
What did you think it was? I'm sure you looked at it. Did you think it was a foul? Do you disagree with the call?
You look at it.
It's on that last play. What
great call. Next question.
What do you feel about your closeout on that play?
It was a great call. Next question.
All right, Brunson on his Bill Belichick there. I don't blame him. Here's what crew chief Ed Molloy said after the game. After seeing it during post-game review, the offensive player was able to return to a normal playing position on the floor. The contact, which occurred after the release of the ball, therefore is incidental and marginal to the shot attempt and could not have been called. Where are my guys? There they are. Hello, Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst. Guys! It's officially NBA season. I mean, I know it's been NBA season since October, but now it's really NBA season. And the heavy lifting is up to you two. All right, let's dive right into this. Big Perk, I want to start with you. Were the Knicks robbed?
Hell yeah, they was robbed. And Molly, look, that was one of the worst calls I've seen in NBA history, even when I was playing. When it comes down to it, I watched that entire basketball game. The officials messed up a great basketball game. It was physical. Guys were going at it. The Knicks were down double figures. They came back. They were going toe-to-toe. Dylan Brooks junked up the game. Him and Jalen Brunson got into it. Dylan Brooks knocking down the tray ball. Jalen Brunson clutch shot to tie the game. And all of a sudden it comes to this. And I don't want to hear the explanation after the game and the officials admitting that they were wrong. They knew they was wrong when they actually had to go review it and see how much time was on the clock. At the end of the day, this was bad for the game last night. It was one of the worst calls I've seen in NBA history, and they should have let this thing play it out. It was a physical game all game long. How do you call that?
Well, it was a bad call. Ed Malloy admitted that it should not have been a foul. And the Knicks, we don't know. Let's just see what happens if we go to overtime. And, yeah, but the Knicks, I would feel some type of way. Now, the explanation saying all that, it doesn't make me feel any better in the morning because I still have a loss. I have an L. That's what I have. And it's tough. But I like the fact because a lot of times, Perk and Brian, sometimes, I'm not going to say all the time, but a lot of times, even though they know they're wrong, they go like, well, it was just, there was contact below the waist and there was this, and then he looked at him wrong, and so we had to throw the foul. Ed Malloy stepped up and said, you know what? I gagged this one. I missed this call. A foul should not have been called, and we should have been going to overtime. Because you can look at the guy, he tried to throw it, he almost like he was shot putting it, Perk. It was wrong. It was a bad call. Ed Malloy admitted it. It was kind of like the call last year, LeBron in Boston. Everybody knew it was a bad call. There was nothing you could do because everybody saw. Now, I'm not so sure. And the thing is with this one, because it's so far out, you can see it. And now we look at it like, bro, that's not a foul. That's not a foul. But he made it. Ed Malloy said, you know what? Hey, it was after the release. It was marginal, incidental. Therefore, a foul shouldn't have been called. But that doesn't make the Knicks or the Knicks fans feel any better this morning.
Shannon, you have no idea, unfortunately, how right you are comparing those two calls. Because as somebody who defends NBA officials, I feel like more than anybody in the media, I have to sit here and report to you that the same referee missed both calls. The same referee. It was not Ed Malloy. Ed Malloy was the crew chief, so he came out and said it. Unfortunately, it was another referee, Jason Goble, who was on both calls. And I'm also somebody who says that the NBA games are not determined by officiating 99% of the time. I strive to be an unbiased observer, but I say 99% of the time. This was the 1%. This was an absolutely brutal call. And not only that, but it was great defense. Jalen Brunson played great defense there. He forced Aaron Holiday into only using one arm.
Exactly.
Because he did such good contesting of that shot. He did one arm. Now, I'm not adept enough in fundamentals of officiating to know whether the official was in the right spot. It was a strange play in that it was a blocked shot that came flying out. It was an unusual moment. You just can't blow that whistle there, just bottom line. And just to be clear to the fans, they did review it, but they weren't reviewing whether it was a foul. They were reviewing whether the foul came in front of the time on the clock. And this comes, and there's no good time to lose a game like this, but this comes at just a brutal moment for the Knicks because they were already down effectively four starters going into this game. They came in losing three out of the last four. They got a three-game road trip this week before the All-Star break. And then in the fourth quarter, Dante DiVincenzo, who has been carrying them as they've been down all of these players and are integrating these new guys they traded, he looked like he popped his hamstring after playing 41 minutes, probably because he's been playing so many minutes lately. I don't know what he's going to do going forward the rest of this week. I would say it's iffy at best. So the Knicks get absolutely gut punched. And I know that Tom Thibodeau and Jalen Brunson took the high road after the game because they're both pros when it comes to this. But I will also say that it says something when in the pool report, the referees don't even wait for the last 2 minute reports and admit the call was wrong.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the second time it's happened in the last 2 years with the same official where the pool report admits he was wrong.
And you know why this is so bad for the Knicks and unfortunate? Because the Knicks are one of the teams, quiet as kept, that has been going all in somewhat for us being able to contend for a title this year. Right, you look at the trades that they made, getting OG Anunoby. You look at the getting Bogdanovich, getting Alex Burks. And when you think about the Eastern Conference, the number two seed is so important because you don't want to face the Boston Celtics into the conference finals. Getting that number two seed, and the Knicks are knocking at the door. I think it's about, what, two games, Wendy, as far as the separation between, you know, about three or four teams in the East right now, the Bucks, the Cavs, and the Knicks, as far as getting that number two seed. And this game right here that was determined by a wrong call by the officials could haunt them down the line.
Yeah. Wendy, to play up what you said, the majority of the time, the lion's share of the time, the officiating is great. It's the one time that it's not. It's kind of like in football. It's the one time that somebody, the call is wrong. It's scripted. Oh, the fix is in. And I don't believe that with sports. Having played sports, Perk, you played 14 years. I played 14 years. Wendy, you've covered the game. But it's the one time in plays like this where they paint the entire NBA with a broad stroke and say, see, I told you it was scripted. No, Josh Goble made a bad call. I don't believe it was anything more than that. He made a bad call. I love the fact that Ed Malloy, who was the crew chief at the time, admitted that it was a bad call. That's all. There's nothing else that can be said or done.
I was watching all the pregame shows before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And one of the, the retired official, I forget his name, but he was talking about how he's so excited about the officiating crew that was officiating the Super Bowl, because he said he's going to expect them to hold their flags. There's going to be less flags, meaning that he was going to allow guys to play through certain things because he wanted whoever the determined factor, they wanted it to be determined by the players on the field and not by a flag or a call. And I thought that was a beautiful thing to hear.
But I will say this. I don't believe timing of the game, the importance of the game, should dictate whether a foul or a flag is thrown. When they threw that foul on McDuffie, it was a foul in the game. He held Jennings. Okay, you throw it. Remember last year, everybody said on Bradberry, when he tugged Juju, man, you can't throw a flag in that situation. There's too much at stake. It's a foul. It was a flag. It was a penalty. He impeded his progress. Even in an NBA game, when you hear this a lot, man, with the importance of the ball game, at the timing of the ball game, you just got to swallow your whistle. No, that's not what Dr. James Naismith said. He didn't say, well, if the guy's Shaq size and the other guy's Muggsy Bogues, you can't call a foul on Muggsy Bogues if he jumps on Shaq's back because of the size difference. He didn't say, well, at this timing of the game or the importance of the game, you swallow your whistle. But in this situation, you cannot call that because there was nothing there. He missed it. I don't want to make any more out of it. I probably made a short story too long. But there's nothing more, and there's nothing to Knicks. And I understand that Thibodeau is upset, and Jalen Brunson said, I'm not going to give the NBA none of my money. You get no free money from me. You made a horrible call, and then you're going to take $25,000 or $50,000 for me criticizing the call. I'm just going to say next question. It was a bad call, but Ed Malloy said, you know what, we missed it.
Wendy, before we go, what should the league do?
They should put out a last two-minute report and try to train the officials better and move on.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Knicks are fourth in the East right now, and they were on quite the hot streak, so that's a bummer.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Simone Biles is back, and she just keeps on winning. After withdrawing from competition at the Tokyo Olympics 2 years ago to focus on her mental health, Biles earned an eighth national title, breaking a record which had stood since 1933. Biles is now the winningest gymnast ever. She won her first all-around world championship title at 16, the first black gymnast to do so. 3 years later, in Rio, Biles won four gold medals, setting another record for American female gymnasts at a single event. In total, Biles has racked up 37 Olympic and World Championship medals. Not bad for an athlete who wasn't sure if she would ever compete professionally again. But she's not done. Biles hopes to compete in the 2024 Summer Olympics and continue her golden reign.
Excuse me. Frog in my throat, Jeff. Were you ready to help out, or you're just going to be choked? All right, here's the answer. Dominique Dawes won gold for the women's team all around at the 96 Olympic Games. Dawes was a pioneer, winning four total medals in her career and paving the way for future stars like Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles. All right, Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy on the verge of making history, going from the last pick in the draft to Super Bowl champion, but 3 points in OT was the difference, and instead Purdy was forced to watch the confetti fall for those Kansas City Chiefs. Kyle Shanahan had this to say about his QB.
What did he say, Stephen A.? We had the team to win the Super Bowl. You had a 10-point lead, 3-12 on third down, 25%, and I told you, D.O., oh, he's going to silence all the critics. Oh, all this goes away. I said, Dio, if he doesn't win this game, you'll still have more questions about Brock Purdy. When you got that roster, you got to close the deal. I still have questions. And I'm sorry if you don't, that he's answered all your questions. He's checked all the boxes, but he hasn't.
All right. Slop by Shannon Sharp right there. So we'll just take that all in.
Let's just take it in.
Let's take a breath. Let's pause. Understatement. Let's marinate on it and let's dive into it and break it down. Jeff, did Purdy do enough in that Super Bowl to silence the doubters?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Shannon act like this dude walked out there and got boat raced by the Kansas City Chiefs. The quarterback himself didn't do enough. By the way, the man walked off the field with a 3-point lead in overtime, right? So all the things, he can't stop the muff punt or the punt hitting the guy. He can't stop McCaffrey fumbling. He can't stop an unblocked lineman coming free. It baffles me that you act like what Purdy did wasn't good enough to win this game, because we keep talking about how Patrick Mahomes is in a different level all by himself. And that's 100% true. But to pretend like Brock Purdy didn't do his part for this team to be in the realm of winning this game and potentially should have won this game. And when you talk about the 10-point lead and talk about what was it, they should have run the ball more. They should have given it to C-Mac more, right? And not because of Purdy, but because the strength of the Kansas City Chiefs is what you played into the teeth of. And that's silliness. And you and I both know, after Mahomes' pick, they should have run the ball. They throw it 8 of 9 times when Kansas City is playing and making it very difficult, exotic packages, all those kinds of things. But not only did his numbers look fine, did he do, but he made an extended play, Shannon, and made tight window throws and made the plays that you're – so here's what you said. You said there's still doubt because he didn't do enough. So Lamar Jackson is the MVP of our league, and he played this same defense. And I think he's probably had 20 more yards, maybe 20 more yards than Purdy. Had an interception, he throws in triple coverage, and has a strip sack to give it up. So if we're saying that Lamar Jackson was good enough or had a chance to go win that game against the Chiefs or had the best team to go win it, how do we say anything different about Purdy? He is good enough for them to win the Super Bowl. He walked off with a lead in overtime, man. Like, he can't play both sides of the ball. So what does he have to do besides getting his team in his first, nine games, whatever he played his last year, to the NFC Championship game, getting hurt, and then the next year leading his team back to the Super Bowl and getting beat in base almost double overtime against the great, what we're talking about is a dynasty right now. It's just, dude, that's silliness. Like, this dude did plenty to silence the critics.
The problem that we're having Saturday is that we're grading him on a curve. Because he was drafted, let me ask you a question. Did he have as good a game in the Super Bowl as Jalen Hurts did the year before? Yes or no?
No.
And we still have questions about Jalen Hurts.
Okay, but here's Hold on a second. Jalen Hurts had a better, because he ran for three touchdowns, and two of those runs are three-yard runs. But it's what you're asking him to do. Did he put his – he didn't fumble it like – so if you want to go that way, Hurts hurt his team as well with the fumble. So he did not hurt his team at all. He gave his team nothing but advantage to win. And that's what we talked about he needed to do that. But I still would say that I don't have questions about Hurts. I think he's a good enough quarterback to go win the Super Bowl the same way I would say Purdy is as well. There's no questions. That's not a question. This dude played plenty well.
I just believe that if Brock Purdy was not Mr. Irrelevant, we would have questions. But because he's a seventh round draft pick, you say, well, Shannon, look how far he's come. He's Mr. Irrelevant. He's guiding a team. That team was more talented on both sides of the football than Kansas City. Would you agree, Saturday? Yes or no?
No. I think Kansas City's defense is clearly better than San Francisco's defense. So, no, I would not say that. And I think the way they played, the way we gave San Francisco all the flowers early, they gave up massive points in the playoffs. Like, they had to come back against the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay.
And against Detroit.
Lions, yes.
So, no, I think Kansas City's defense was as good as there is in the NFL. They never gave up more than, like, 27 points or 28 points. It's next level. But listen, let's put it this way. Lamar Jackson's defense was number one in the three greatest categories in defense, and they still lost. But I didn't just say it was because of one. Purdy has still given them and taken them to a championship and a Super Bowl in two opportunities.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson is a two-time league MVP.
Yeah.
Do you believe?
I don't think he should have got the MVP this year.
Okay, but that's beside the point. He did get it though,
right?
Do you believe people still have questions about Lamar Jackson?
Yes, but I'm not one who has questions about him. I think he's fully capable of winning a Super Bowl, so I don't have that question.
And let me redirect. Maybe 49ers defense didn't play better than Kansas City, but personnel-wise, would you say 49ers personnel with Bosa, Armstead?
No, their defensive line is, but listen, I think Kansas City's defensive backfield was significantly better than San Francisco's. You and I watched them go attack Logan Ryan. I mean, like, no, I don't. I think Kansas City can freaking fly around. Are they as capable up front as what San Francisco is? No. When you have Chase Young and Bosa and Armstead and Hardy, I get that. But when you
lose Greenlaw. What about you? Hold on. But yeah. He's personnel. He was on the 49ers. Fred Warner.
He got hurt and misses the majority of the game, and it completely changed the game.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing. But we've seen big-time quarterbacks make big-time throws and big-time moments. And you and I was talking about it leading up to it. I said there's going to come a time in this game that he – and he made some good throws, Saturday. Yeah. I'm not saying that he didn't make good throws. But Jimmy Garoppolo got this team to a Super Bowl. And you still had questions about him.
But hold on, hold on. Let's say this about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo got them to the Super Bowl when he threw six passes – in one of their games. He accounted for like 30% of their offense, right? Like 30%. Yeah. Brock Purdy accounted for 76% of their offense to carry them to the Super Bowl. So don't compare. Like, everybody's giving me this whole Jimmy Garoppolo nonsense. It was two totally different teams. Totally different what you ask of Purdy and what you asked of Garoppolo. Purdy is a better quarterback.
Purdy is so much better, he only scored 2 points more than Jimmy G. And Jimmy G had a 20-10 lead in the fourth quarter, and he missed the throw to Emmanuel Sanders.
And this defense was better. This Kansas City defense is better this year than they were 4 years ago when they played him. You and I both know that. They were on that Patrick Mahomes, got to carry him offensively. That was the way they were going to do. That was the way – listen, Purdy didn't do anything to hurt this team. He did everything to help this team. And at the end of the day, so you would tell me – so let me ask you this. When you think about the way he played, what do you think he could have done differently to take out the doubts for you?
He would have – well, win the game would definitely help. But I just thought there's some throws, and you know sometimes – in a game of this magnitude, you've seen guys have to stare down the barrel and make throws with Chris Jones staring you down. And we criticize Josh Allen for that very thing. You've got to step and you've got to make that throw when the guy's wide open in the end zone. You've got to make one of those throws. I'm not saying you got to make all three of them that he had, but you've got to make one. And you say when he left the field, he had a 3-point lead.
Yeah.
Nah, you know who on the other side? That's just like Tom Brady. If you go down and kick a field goal and you give Brady the ball, what was he going to do Saturday? Go get seven.
But he doesn't have, he can't say I'm going for it on the fourth down. You think he wanted to come off with a three? I guarantee you they wanted to go for it. But he doesn't have that option, and he doesn't have enough games under his belt the same way you may trust a Patrick Mahomes, because it is brand new, or he is in his early part of his career. So maybe Shanahan I don't love what Shanahan did, but I will say this. I think that when you talk about Purdy and you're talking about Josh Allen, I'm good with that. If you're like, hey, I expect him to make the same throw as Josh Allen, great.
Yes.
I expect him to make the same throw as a Lamar Jackson, great. Jalen Hurts. Then let's make sure we're keeping him in that same conversation with those dudes, because he is making those same throws and getting his team to those games to go make them. So that's my point. As long as we're keeping them all the same and saying, hey, they all got to be a little bit better, I'm good with that. But saying he leaves doubt, there's no way he leaves doubt that he can't do this again.
But here's the thing. People have doubt about Allen. People have doubt about Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts threw for like 300 and had a monster game and scored 35 points.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yes.
And people still left that game, and people last year had doubts. Well, I don't know. That year before, when he finished second in the MVP, that might be an anomaly. That might be a one-off situation. They have doubts, and he got him to the Super Bowl, and he played phenomenal. Yes, he turned the ball over. But even with a turnover, Patrick Mahomes had a turnover. But we still gave him credit, and they won the game because it was a different situation. But he played phenomenal. Jalen Hurts played unbelievable. Had people talking about, well, maybe Jalen Hurts should have won the MVP in a losing effort, kind of like Chuck Howley. No, I don't think that's going to happen, even though Patrick Mahomes barely had 200 yards, but he had three touchdowns and to come from behind victory. He has another year. I don't know what they're going to do with the contract situation. I would go ahead and give him a 4-year deal, $45 million. I think he's earned that. But I need to see some more. I'm sorry, Saturday. I got to see more. I need to get more into the movie. It's a 3-hour movie, and you let me watch 2.5 hours of it. I got to get all the way to the end.
Can you really sit through a 3-hour movie, Shannon?
No chance.
Not anymore.
You and I both know this, bro.
Segments.
This dude has taken his team to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. You ain't moving on. You ain't got no doubts if you're in that locker room. That dude can get you back there. You and I both know that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Come on.
Shannon, that's fair. Could you say that's fair?
Oh, and the guys in the locker room, they absolutely believe in him, yes.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's get into the association now. The T-Wolves used a dominant second half to demolish the Clippers 121-100 in a battle of two of the top teams in the West. The Timberwolves turned an intense first half into a rout by outscoring the Clippers 40-19 in the third, cooking on offense, stifling defense. Now staying in the Midwest, the Bucks, steady progress on defense shined in their rout of the Nuggets. After initially struggling under Coach Doc Rivers, the Bucks put together one of their most complete wins of the season, a 112-95 victory over the Nuggets for a second straight win. All right. Shannon, you're up first. Hi, guys. Burke and Wendy are back. Hey, hey. Mm-hmm. No snow day for you two. I think you guys are in L.A. I'll start with you, Shannon. My bad. Bigger statement, Minnesota or Milwaukee?
Minnesota. They went to the Clippers building and beat the team that had gone 27-6 over the last 33 games and did a demolition job on them. These are two top teams in the Western Conference, and they went to your house and they beat you down. I don't really know what else to say. And Anthony Edwards didn't have a great night. He was, I think it was 1-for-11 from the three-point line. But like you said, that dominant third quarter outscored them 40-19. And they did a job. The Clippers had looked, I mean, if you hadn't watched the Clippers over the last 33 games, you said that team's coming out of the West. Because that's how well they had played. Kawhi Leonard had played himself into the MVP discussion. Nikola Jokic, Shai Gilgeous, and then you have to put Kawhi or Giannis in that 3-4 spot. That's how well they had been playing. They had been playing. James Harden had ingratiated himself in the offense, doing a great job of distributing the basketball. And when they needed him to score, he could score. And we know Paul George, those guys was playing great. But what the Timberwolves did by going into the crypt and beating them down, that was a much bigger win than the Nuggets losing on the road in Milwaukee. The Timberwolves, whoo, they're showing you something, Perk.
Let me tell you why you're wrong. You said okay. That their record was 27-6, the Clippers, okay? One of those six losses came against the Timberwolves about 3 weeks ago. When it comes down to the Minnesota Timberwolves, they have beaten every top team in the NBA. They handed the Nuggets their first loss. They handed the Celtics their first loss. They beat the Clippers twice. They have beaten the Bucks. They have beaten every single contending team in the league. So it wasn't surprising. And I believe that the Clippers right now, the last six games that they played, I mean the Minnesota Timberwolves, the last six games that they played against the Clippers, they won five out of six, if I'm not mistaken. But when it comes down to the Bucks, I said this on NBA Countdown last night, and Molly, they called me everything but a child of God when I said this. I said the Bucks were in a must-win situation because they have been battling the flu all season long, but they kept going to Walgreens and CVS trying to get that over-the-counter medicine. All of a sudden, they got their antibiotics last night. And when you think about the Milwaukee Bucks, when you are labeled as a contender, the defending champs are coming into your house and you need that signature win, damn it, they proved that last night. And that duo of Brook Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo anchoring that defense against Jokic last night without Chris Middleton was a beautiful thing to watch. And it was a statement win and it was a must win, and they got it done.
A must win before the All-Star game? Damn. Okay, go ahead, Wendy. Take off.
Okay.
You didn't say that when AD said it, when they said they needed a must win against Oklahoma City after the in-season tournament.
Bro, the Lakers had won four games at that point. Of course it was.
No, come on, Perk. You know, with Shannon, every Laker game is a must-win game. They're playing the Pistons tonight. Must-win game for Unk. Okay. The answer to Molly's question is that it was a bigger win for the Bucks. But I want to just say something real quick about the Timberwolves. Size. This is a big, bad, strong defensive team, and their size gives teams problems. They're 3-0 against the Nuggets and Clippers this year. The Clippers, as awesome as they are, have issues with really big teams. It's their big challenge against the Nuggets eventually. They just lost last week to the Cavs because they play with so much size, and they defend. Defense travels. They're the best road team, in my opinion, in the NBA. Their record shows that. But the Bucks, before the last two games, had lost five of the first six games that Doc Rivers coached. Their defense wasn't showing much improvement. They are able to get back-to-back games where they give up less than 100 points. That's the first time that's happened for them in 3 years. So for the Bucks to get that win, even though it's at home, even though it's in February, to get a couple of good defensive performances in a row, that was huge for them.
Oh, Perk, I just want you to know, just because I wasn't in the basketball segments, I was watching what you said. You say the Clippers are the team to beat in the West. You call Kawhi Leonard. You say Kawhi Michael Jordan Leonard. Ooh, he the MVP. And, hey, hear me out. I want y'all to hear me out now. You know, old Big Perk. You know Big Perk the Swarm. You know I know all things. And now all of a sudden, they go out there and they beat the brakes off them. And now you want to poo-poo the Minnesota Timberwolves win.
No, I'm not poo-pooing. I'm saying I didn't seen this story before, but am I picking the Minnesota Timberwolves to beat the Clippers in the seven-game series? I'm not. Not saying that it wouldn't go six or seven games. It would be a great series. But what I'm telling you, Unc, is that the Bucks needed medicine, man. They've been sick all season long, dealing with everything. That's all I'm saying.
Stephen A. today needed a little medicine. Hey, guys, I hate to cut you off.
Oh, baby, tired.
No, he's sick, for real. He actually is sick.